This is the first Sunday of Advent, and as we heard very eloquently from Donna, Advent is it's a unique season, it's a special season. It's actually different than the Christmas season that sort of the world celebrates, because, well, we all know what that's all about. And even the tone and the mood and such this morning maybe feels a little different than Briarwood Mall at the moment, for whatever reason. But there's some tension in the season. There's a lot of different emotions. There's a lot of different thoughts and feelings that go into it. And like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's a time and there's a season for everything. There's a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. And there's a time to be serious and there's a time to have fun. And sometimes those things are actually juxtaposed. It's a big word, isn't it? They're forced against one another, and they create this unique kind of blend of, it's almost shocking, because are we happy or are we sad? Are we contemplative or are we joyful? You know, Advent, if there's one word really that Advent is about, it's about waiting. How many of you like to wait? You like to wait? Oh, okay. Scared me for a second. I mean, there's none of us like to wait. And I think as time goes on, as technology changes and culture changes, things get faster and faster and faster, and waiting gets harder and harder and harder to do. It really does. But this season, it's about waiting. And we are really in between two periods of waiting, because there was the original waiting in which for hundreds, thousands of years, people were waiting a Messiah to come. And then he came, and it's like, woo, ball game's over. And then he left. And they said, wait a second, where are you going? And he said, I'll be back soon. No one thought 2,000 years plus was soon, but it gets back to that waiting again. And so we are in between the first Advent and the second Advent, between the first waiting period and the second waiting period. We stand today in history between the first coming of Christ and his second coming of Christ. And so while this season is a lot about looking back at a historical event that happened 2,000 years ago, we go, that's old news, we know the story, we know the baby and the cattle and all that stuff. There's also this waiting in which we're waiting for his second coming. And so we're in between, we're in the now and the not yet. And this Advent season is a powerful time for us to wait and wait and wait. Some of you kids are probably waiting for the 25th to come. You know, you're just like waiting because you can't wait for that day. There's just so much excitement. In some traditions, December 25th is the beginning, not the end, but really the beginning of the festivities. And that's, you hear about the 12 days of Christmas? What is the first of the 12 days of Christmas? Anyone know? It's December 25th, right? Some stores are doing like December 1st, the 25 days of Christmas, and some will probably do the 12 days starting on the 13th or whatever. But it actually begins Christmas, and this is all leading up to it. This is the period of preparation for Advent, preparation and waiting for the coming of Christ. Well, it's also the month of preparing for the celebration, right? There's a lot of preparation that goes into December 25th. We think about shopping. We think about baking. How many of you like to bake? And how many of you like to eat the baking? Okay, there we go. That's what I thought. There's parties, right? And there's wrapping gifts, and there's all this stuff. And there's a really big part of the preparation that is maybe my personal favorite, and that is the music. The music of Christmas. Just for the record, I believe that Christmas music should begin... Well, I think it should begin when we see Santa in the Thanksgiving Day parade. That's the signal to me. It's like when I see Santa, then I know the Christmas season has begun. We can start listening to the music that has been playing already for a month or whatever on the radio stations. When I met my wife at first, she was like, December 1st. I'm like, not December 1st. We see Santa on Thanksgiving Day. That's when it starts, and we can start listening to Christmas music. So that's Thanksgiving Day is the day, in our household at least, when we out all the, well, it used to be the CDs. Now it's... Well, it's just MP3 players and all that. But that's when we start listening to Christmas music. And there's something about the soundtrack of the season to me. We've enjoyed the aesthetic beauty in this room, whether it's the trees and the lights and the wreaths and such, that create visually an ambiance. And music also creates that ambiance. It lets us know that it's that time of year, doesn't it? I've noticed that the sense of taste has really emerged in recent years as a key indicator of the season as well. What is the taste of Christmas? I think you're both right. But gingerbread or peppermint. And so Starbucks is, you know, we've got the peppermint stuff, right? And there's peppermint ice cream I bought the other day. It's like, oh, this tastes like Christmas. So that's the unique thing about this holiday and this season, unlike any other that I'm aware of, is that there is sights and there's tastes and there's sounds of Christmas. Anyone that knows me knows that, well, I kind of like music. Well, okay, I love music. And music's not only a part of my life and my family's life, but I'm a third-generation musician. And music, it's really hard to even express how much music means to me. It's one of God's greatest gifts. And there's some things that can be communicated in music that just can't be communicated any other way. And so because of that, I'm going to yodel the rest of my sermon today. And just kidding. But, you know, there's something really powerful about the music of Christmas. And I'm not talking about Grandma got run over by a reindeer, or I want a hippopotamus for Christmas, or even that Christmas donkey, hee-haw, and some of those, like, weird songs that are out there. Have you heard that song? It's interesting. But I'm talking more about the Christmas carols, and a lot of the Christmas carols, they are rich hymns. Many of them have been sung for hundreds, if not almost thousands of years. And we're going to take a different carol each week and just kind of launch off of that a little bit. And see what do these songwriters, what are they telling us about Scripture? What are they telling us about the truths of God's Word? And I have to really make a confession to all of you this morning. I have over 20,000 songs in my iTunes library. I mean, I have tons and tons of music, and I've been listening to music my whole life. But as a musician, I rarely listen to the words. I know some people say, oh, I never listen to the words, and then they're singing along. Well, like, I don't sing along. I literally don't even know often the words to the songs. In fact, I guess it's really been since I started leading worship musically the last 20-some years that I've started to really take careful attention. What are we actually singing instead of just, sounds good, but what are we singing? So we're going to take a zoom lens and actually look at the lyrics of these songs because they're very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. In fact, I was telling Donna the other day that one of my dreams is I'd love to do a series on Handel's Messiah. I saw it actually performed for the first time live last year. And Handel's Messiah is basically Scripture, just the whole life of Jesus from the Old Testament, tons of Old Testament, lots of New Testament. And we celebrate it at the Christmas season, but it's really not a Christmas thing. It's a life of Christ thing. It's almost more of an Easter thing. Of course, it would probably take about 30 weeks or so to go through it. So maybe we'll start in April and we'll go and celebrate next Christmas and we'll all sing the Hallelujah Chorus together on Christmas Day and celebrate and we'll be done. Maybe. We'll see. But, you know, sometimes it's actually a good thing that song lyrics are misunderstood or that we don't pay attention to them because, well, have you ever sung the wrong lyric or thought it said something that it didn't? I came across, there's actually a word for this. It's called a mondegreen. A mondegreen is when you misunderstand something. Did I pronounce that right? Because I think that's maybe a French word. I don't know. But, you know, like Deck the Halls with Buddy Holly. I don't know. Some people thought that that's what that said. This is a common one. The first Noel the angels did say was to frighten poor shepherds in fields where they... Well, that really wasn't it. Get dressed, ye married gentlemen. Let nothing through this May. I mean, when it's sung fast, you know, sometimes you don't really know. What are they saying? We three kings of Oregon are bearing gifts. We travel so far. The people on the West Coast, they really like that one. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round young virgin... Yeah, you know, so this is, but this is my favorite one. I came across this one. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. All right? So you're like, yeah, get out the trident, and, you know. Yeah. Well, during the next 4 weeks, during this preparation for Jesus' celebration, we're going to look at four classic Christmas carols, their lyrics and their biblical message. And it's my hope and prayer that as you hear these songs, not only here, but as you hear them in the store, you hear them in your car or whatever, they're playing on the radio at work, that you'll not only hum the melody, but you'll really think about the timeless message. And I want to say up front, I want to mention this series. It's really produced with the assistance of Craig Rochelle and LifeChurch.tv. These are the guys that have created the amazing YouVersion app that we use a lot around here. If you have any sort of smart device, you don't have YouVersion, you've got to download it. It's the most amazing Bible program ever. And they have this roving elf named David. And Well, just have a little fun with this.
Hey guys, we're here to do some reverse Carolyn Rask. You sing me a song.
Let's go. What do you guys got up? Yeah, so I think I'd do a lot better than that, or we want to give you that opportunity. So if you would, please, this morning's carol, as we said, is O Holy Night, and I just want to give you a little background about it before we sing it. It's actually one of my all-time favorite Christmas carols. I've got about 30 different versions, different recordings of it. But interestingly enough, in 1847, a parish priest, asked a French wine cellar, Placide Capot, to write a poem for Christmas. Now, this guy wasn't a follower of Jesus, but he was known as a great poet. And so the priest said, look through the scriptures, particularly through Luke chapter 2, and see what you can come up and write a poem. And so he did this. And then his Jewish friend, Adolph Charles Adams, added the music. And what's fascinating is that while neither of these guys were Christians, God used them to tell the Christmas story like no other. On Christmas Eve in 1906, a Canadian inventor, Reginald Fessenden, did the first ever radio broadcast. He did an AM radio broadcast in 1906, and the radio broadcast featured a reading of Luke chapter 2, and then the song, O Holy Night, that he played on the radio on his violin. So this is one of the very first songs that was ever broadcast on radio. Let's sing it together. Sometimes we have to wait. And like we've been saying, this whole season is about waiting, and I don't like to wait. The people of Israel didn't like to wait. The Jews waited generations for the Messiah. We've been waiting 2,000 plus years for His return. But it's going to be worth it. It's going to be so worth it. And it's going to come at any moment. I mean, think about this, friends. We might not celebrate Christmas on this planet this year. It could happen. I'm not making a prediction. Don't quote me on that. But He is going to return. Because He keeps His promises. And He's not going to come as a little sweet baby Jesus. He's going to come to rule and reign. For most of us, that's great news. We're like, come on! But for some of you, maybe that's not such good news. Because if you're not ready for His return, He's coming to rule and reign and judge. And we've got to be ready. Because He's not going to just show up in a little manger, and we're not just going to sing little Christmas carols. No, He's going to come to rule and reign. One encounter with Jesus, and makes all the difference in the world. One encounter with Jesus gives us hope. Lazarus, dead for 4 days. The King James Version says, he stinketh. I love that. One encounter with Jesus that Lazarus had changed everything for him. A woman was bleeding for 12 years. She touched Jesus' garment and she was healed. 38 years, the man could not walk, and then he met Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. One encounter with Jesus. And friends, some of you, you're holding out hope. And I want to say, hold out hope. Wait for Jesus. Wait for that breakthrough. It's coming. Some of you, it's your marriage. You're just waiting for a breakthrough in your marriage. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe there's just a different relational issue, or your relationships are wrecked, or your body's broken. I just want to say, hold out hope, because hope is real. Our weary world is going to rejoice. Because Jesus is here, you can have hope in the middle of the night. I love this passage from Romans 13. It says, do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. People say, ask me, when is Jesus coming back? I say, I don't know, but He's one day closer than yesterday. We are one day closer. That hope, that return is one day closer. We wait, we wait, we wait, but it's going to be worth it. He's so going to be worth the wait. The night is nearly over and the day is almost here. And friends, I know some of you are just, you're really suffering right now. Your world is really weary. And I don't say this morning as if my world is just stellar and I've got my act together. I mean, I prepared this message sitting in a hospital waiting room every day this week, surrounded not only by a child of my own, but seeing other children in just absolutely horrific conditions. Seeing the heartbreak of parents and the weariness of their world, and thinking, I don't know what's going to happen to my daughter. I don't know when she's going to walk again. It's been more than 3 months. But the sun always rises again. That's S-U-N. That's S-O-N. There's hope. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. As Tony Campolo likes to say at Easter time, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Right? Some of you know that story. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. We've got to wait. So today is about hope. It's about hope. We have to wait for the hope, but it's coming. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks, and very soon a new and glorious morn. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the thrill of hope that you offer. I thank you for the way that we can read your word cover to cover and see your goodness and your faithfulness and your love and your mercy and your grace. And we can see that you don't change. I thank you that we can look back at all the preparations and the waiting for your first coming, Jesus. And in a similar way, we wait for your second coming and your return, and we have hope. And I pray for each of my brothers and sisters in this world, those of us maybe that have given up hope or have thought about giving up hope, that you would renew their strength, that they may rise up and have hope, a true hope, not a fake one. Because, God, you are our rock, you are our shelter, you are our strength, you are holy and unlike any other leader, unlike any other God, and unlike any other person. And I pray that you would give each of us a new measure of hope as we anticipate the weary world rejoicing, as we anticipate a new and glorious morn. I thank you as well, Lord, that this great hymn, it's so amazing to me how you used non-Christians to tell your story. That we ultimately need more than just a story. They understood the story, but they didn't know you. And I pray that this season we would not just learn about you and just have facts and figures, but that we would fall deeper in love with you, Jesus. That we would know you, Jesus. Not only just the reason for the season, the reason for every season, the reason for life, the reason for hope, the reason for joy. And I pray that this season, more than ever in our lives, we would experience you in a most intimate and transformational way. Thank you for coming to our planet. And thank you for the hope that you're returning soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it seems appropriate this morning that as we talk about hope and we talk about this, even the purple candle in the season of repentance, that we would just pause and we would remember what Jesus did for us, because this ultimate celebration is not about a baby. It's about a king. It's about a king who died. I love that even these kids understood that this season isn't just about a little baby and it's not about gifts, but he came to die and then to rise again. As Phil comes up and just plays some beautiful music for us, and as the elders come up, we're going to distribute the elements of communion. And if you're a follower of Jesus, we invite you this morning just to participate, to remember not only the birth of Christ, but the death of Christ, how he died for you, how he died to give you life and hope, that because of his death, we can have life, not just human, eternal 80-year life, but everlasting life, and a life filled not just beyond the grave, but even now with hope. A life that's filled now with purpose and meaning. A life, Jesus said, give you a life, abundant life, an extravagant life, a fantastic life, which doesn't mean easy, doesn't mean comfortable, doesn't mean rich. It does mean filled with joy, knowing our Creator, our purpose,